we will be opening up some of these stories of Jesus, some of which you know well, some of which will be unfamiliar. I'm going to move this a little bit. Some of which will be just downright strange, sort of like the one. The book of Luke is actually of getting to this end. So maybe your summer reading program, if you signed up for that at the library, could include the book of Luke as well. Usually I preach a sermon series, and we are going to, over the summer, be using what's called the lectionary. If you went today into a Roman Catholic church or a Lutheran church or any of the high churches, an Episcopal church, you would actually find them using the same scripture for today, because believe it or not, there are some things on which Christians can agree. So that is one of those things. So today we begin with the 9th chapter of Luke and some of the words about from Jesus about what it means to follow him. Will you pray with me? Holy One, may your word take root in our hearts today, the word spoken, the word heard, so that we would grow in our living, in our faith, in your call upon our life. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've heard things like this, or maybe had them said to you. What's done is done. The past is in the past. Let it go. This is not a Frozen song, if you all know that one. Don't dwell in the past. You've heard things like this. And for most of us, that's just simply not true. Our past shapes us in ways that perhaps we don't even see or notice sometimes. For better or for worse, the good that we received from family and early life, the wounds that we still perhaps hold on to, they die hard. Yet today in this story that we hear about Jesus, he seems to be saying to us that we need to move on. Strange words to our ears. I chose this passage, by the way, before I would learn that two of our saints passed away just this week. And so I don't know that this passage is just about moving on, but rather about priorities. There's a time to grieve, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to follow Jesus. And I think part of what Jesus wants to say is that our salvation will be found in what has been, not what we see in the rearview mirror, however good or however difficult that was, but in all that lies on the road ahead of us, all that stretches out before us. Our story today from the Gospel of Luke is the beginning of this journey of Jesus to Jerusalem. It's a journey you can trace on a map, actually, for you Bible students, if you marked all of the Bible passages from this point in Luke to the end. You can see his journey. But it's also a journey of the heart and of the will. It's a resolve to never give up, to look ahead to the trials and the joys of life and say, bring it. We read here that Jesus set his face. I can almost see sort of the way his face may have been set. It's kind of a strange phrase that we don't use in everyday conversation, right? To say Jesus set his face towards something. But it really means that he was steadfast in his will. We have some strong-willed women in my family particularly. I can just see my mother sort of setting her face. You know, she has a purpose in something. And so you can just imagine there was this resolve in the way Jesus might have looked, but it wasn't just about his face, it was about his heart. He was resolved, you see, to live into God's will for his life, which was not, of course, ultimately that he would suffer. Rather, that he would pour out his life and break open his heart and allow his heart to be broken open in such a way that he was ultimately willing to die. My 9-year-old asked me just yesterday, "So why did Jesus have to die? Remind me again." And the easy answer, maybe you have an answer for that, is, anybody? Why did Jesus have to die? To save us from our sins is one thing we often say, and there's a lot of truth in that, obviously. But the ultimate answer is that Jesus had to die so that we would know that love is the last word. Not suffering, not hate, not violence, not old wounds, not sin, but love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, we hear in Scripture. And so we now know in retrospect that God's love caused Jesus to not turn back from the journey that was his. He refused to stay quiet about things he saw as unfair practices in the religious family around him. He refused to extend healing on the Sabbath just because it didn't fit with the way folks have always done things. You know the seven famous last words of the church, "We've never done it that way before." I don't know if Jesus originated that or not, but he steadfastly kept company with the lepers and the tax collectors and the children and the prostitutes, even when people said he shouldn't. He made time, too, to be alone and to pray when crowds would pull him in the other direction so that he stayed within the will of God. He didn't give up, even when people began to say all kinds of evil things about him. He kept his hand to the plow, asked others to follow him, and he held on. Now, I did not grow up in a farming community. I know a few of you here did, indeed. I have heard that nowadays, with the tractors that are used on farms, the plow is actually behind you, so you do have to look back a bit, but you get the idea here. Keep your hand on the plow, hold on. When we were on our family vacation last week, we were able to spend some time at the beach down at the Gulf. And one of the things that really struck me as we were down there, the waves were particularly rough, which made it fun, but also a bit more dangerous, right? So there was a strong undercurrent, undertow. It wasn't pulling us out so much as it was pulling us down, down the beach. And so as I was thinking about that, I was reminded of how easy it is to let our past pull us away from moving forward into the future God is preparing for us. When we were on the beach there, we had some chairs with a pink towel that we laid on it. And I wanted to teach our 9-year-old just a little bit about how strong that current was. So we went directly out from where the pink towel was laid on the chair there, went out into the waves, and we were having fun. And slowly but surely, as we were having fun in the waves, we began to move down the beach. And so the pink towel was further and further away from us. And I said to our youngest at one point, I said, "Look up. We're a long way away from where that pink towel is." And that's the way it is with stuff in our past, isn't it? It can keep us from moving into the future God is preparing. Jesus didn't always have a generous answer for wannabe followers who stayed in the past. In other words, I think he wanted to say, following me is not always easy. In my Bible, in the heading, this little section is actually entitled, "Would-be Followers, Wannabes." I've also heard this little section jokingly, or not jokingly, titled "The Cranky Jesus." Maybe he was just feeling impatient that day, because he says some pretty hard things. Just listen for a minute. There's the first part of the scripture, and then there's the second part. And in the second part, there are sort of three sayings. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Most enthusiastic follower ever, right? And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, if you want to be with me, it's going to be rough. And then to another, he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." That's a tough one to swallow, isn't it? But I think Jesus is speaking in hyperbole here and wanting us to understand that we can't live in the past because the future is where it's at. And Jesus, another asked him, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts the hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." We know other stories, of course, and we have to balance them against this one, of course, where Jesus has great compassion for those in need, for those friends who are grieving, for those who have lost loved ones, for those who are caught up in bodily or emotional pain. And I don't believe for a minute that Jesus would have us ignore our past or not take the time we need to grieve well. But the message here for us is about priorities. Time is short. And with Jesus, the priority is always the future, that place and time that we hope for, that we pray for, that we desire, when the past becomes the future and every day is Easter, every day is Resurrection Day. Until then, Jesus says, keep your hand on the plow, keep your eyes on the prize, keep your eyes on the road, and keep the main thing, the main thing. I have to admit, I am tempted, and maybe you are too at times, to revisit and live in the past. And some of that is so important to do as we claim our roots and our history. It's important for us as a congregation and as individuals too. After all, if we don't know our history, as the saying goes, we are doomed to repeat it. Our family took, as I said, this annual summer road trip over the past 2 weeks, and one of the places we traveled to was my hometown of Auburn, Alabama, still a place very, very dear to my heart. I have now lived in the Midwest for over half my life, so my roots are just as much here, but they grow deep down south. So while we were there, we visited the graves of my grandparents, my dad's parents. My dad was with us, and we walked around the cemetery there. And there's something about visiting graves that's a very holy ritual. Some of you I know have a ritual around that for loved ones and do it every year or perhaps every month or on special birthdays or anniversaries. With our kids with us, it reminded us of that connection to the past and how we wanted them to understand that as well. My dad was walking around with us, and he had known many folks, of course, in that town for living there 22, 23 years, and he kept seeing on the grave some of the names of folks he had known. Oh, gosh, he said, I remember him. He taught me a college class, or gosh, I didn't know she had died. Or yes, I remember him fondly. And I even found some dear church friends, some members who would have been over 100 now who had passed on. And there their names were, Hoyt and Lois Roberts. They had been so kind to me. But of course, these people were not really there, right? As we walked around, I remembered having this strange sense that I was traveling back in time. It was a good time to visit that place and that time, but that part of my life is gone now. That time in my life has ended. That same weekend, Steve and I attended my high school reunion. I mentioned this to some of you. It was so very good to see a few of these people who knew me when. They have some stories to tell, I'm sure, if they were here today. And I'm grateful to have kept in touch, as I know some of you have, with at least a handful of people through the years. People in high school, and even the woman in pink there in the middle, is somebody I was in the church nursery with back in the day. The story is that our parents were introduced to each other because she bit me in the church nursery, actually. But we remained friends after that. 6 months old, you know, you don't remember too much. And then in the blue, my friend Jennifer, who I've known forever as well. People say all sorts of things at reunions, right? Have you been to one of these class reunions or maybe a family reunion? They're all meant in the kindest way. One of the sweetest things to hear, of course, is, oh, you haven't changed a bit, which, of course, is just not true, right? And in a smaller group of friends who knew exactly what I meant, I responded, oh, I sure hope I have. So what's done is done. What's past is past. Let it go. If we need help letting it go, we have each other. There are support groups, of course, Bible studies, circles of friends who hopefully can hear our truth, a pastor, a therapist perhaps. This is not, friends, about keeping your chin up. Putting your hand to the plow means trusting deeply that God will free you up to follow Jesus if you're willing to be a part of the journey. old wounds and sadness, the hole in your heart from being loved well and now that person is no longer with you, old ways of doing things that don't work anymore, old patterns of conflict in families, nostalgia, even as sweet as that can be, for what could have been or should have been. God's deepest desire is to free us and to heal us in such a way that from our past will come our future. And so part of the message that we hear in Scripture today is that the only way to follow Jesus is to move into that future, to put our hand to the plow and hold on. And of course, the promise is that we don't do it alone. I took this picture when we were at the shore, and it doesn't show up very well here, but you can faintly see that there's another rainbow there. I didn't even notice that when I took the picture. It wasn't until later. The promise is that we don't go it alone, or we don't have to. Jesus is already there, hand to the plow, body in the driver's seat, ready for us to join him on the journey. And a word from Scripture that keeps me going. Let us hold unswervingly, as our hand is to the plow, to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is indeed faithful. May it be so for you and for me and for all God's people. Amen.